This morning we come to a conclusion of our study in the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 25. We want to read just verses 7 through 10. Reading from the New International Version, Genesis chapter 25, verse 7, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. And then if you'll turn over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Reading verses 8 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Again, let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we simply pray that you would open our eyes and enable us to behold wonderful things in your law. That you would enable us to behold him whose name is wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Why Abraham? Why does Moses spend 14 chapters out of the book of Genesis telling us this one man's story? And why is it when we turn then to the New Testament that we run into Abraham again and again, only Moses from the Old Testament being mentioned more times? And then even here in Hebrews 11, where most people only get one verse, Abraham gets 12. Why Abraham? Well, you know the answer. It's just so obvious. We've seen it over and over in our study. Abraham is a man of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And more often than not, when Abraham is brought forward in the New Testament, it is as an example of faith. Jesus, speaking of his faith, said, "Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad." Paul spends all of Romans 4 and all of Galatians 3 just to make one point. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And even James appeals to Abraham to show how a believer's faith will work itself out. God obviously wants us to learn something about faith from this man, Abraham. And so this morning, all I want to do is summarize some of what we have seen in our study of the life of Abraham and to use portions here of Hebrews 11. To do that. There's an outline in your bulletin if you wanted to follow along. First of all, just a couple of general lessons that we see on the nature of faith. We learn from Abraham where true saving faith comes from. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called. God called. God spoke. God promised. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land. God speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. God creates faith in Abraham, calling him out of darkness and into the promised land. God creates faith in us. He calls our faith into action in the very same way. It's through his word, his calling, his promises, his word. You and I today are of the faith of Abraham. And we this morning are listening to the very same voice that Abraham listened to. The voice of God. Secondly, we learn from Abraham how true saving faith will always show itself. Again, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Everybody in Hebrews 11 does the same thing. They hear something from God and they respond by doing what God says. It is as much a chapter of obedience as it is a chapter of illustrations of faith. Everybody here hears and believes and responds in the same way. They do what God says and they obey him. And today is no different. We believe as Abraham did and we respond as Abraham did. And we know, just as Abraham knew, that just a mere head knowledge that does not result in some kind of action is dead. That is dead faith. And so our obedience, as it is in Abraham's life, is the evidence that we do believe, that we are alive, that we are God's friends. And then thirdly, we learn from Abraham what role true saving faith will play in our lives. On one hand, faith is always the starting point, isn't it? I mean, that's where you begin in your relationship with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place, he responded by faith and he obeyed. Abraham was saved initially. He entered into that relationship with God initially by means of faith in God's call and promise. But faith is also the daily attitude of the believer. It's what gets us started in our relationship with God, but it's also the daily attitude that we have. Verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham lived by faith. He persevered by faith. Again, verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. And so here's Abraham, the end of his long life, 175 years. And yet Abraham can look back at living exactly 100 years in the promised land. And he could say, as the Apostle Paul would say many years later, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Now, a couple of brief reminders from Abraham on how faith in God will carry us through all of life. As we think back and we look back on what we have studied in the life of Abraham and then see what the author here has chosen to talk about in Hebrews 11, what is it that we are to learn about faith? How will faith in God carry us through all that we meet with in life? Five brief lessons. Number one, faith will help us deal with the difficulties that we meet with in life. Faith will help us meet the difficulties, to deal with those difficulties as we meet them in life. Abraham's story didn't start out all that well, did it? We think back to Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, the very first thing that we're told about Abraham is that his brother died. We don't know the circumstances. Perhaps it was an illness, an accident, could have been a casualty from some war. We don't know what it was, but it had to have been a blow to the family for a brother to die. And then we're told that he was married. Abraham was married, but he was married to his half-sister. That's weird. And then we're told that she was barren, that she couldn't have children. That's heartbreaking. And then God calls Abraham to move, to pull up roots from everything and to leave everything that's familiar. And then in the midst of that move, his father dies. His orphan nephew can't be left on his own. Abraham takes Lot in. Responsibilities just keep dropping into Abraham's lap. Finally, they arrive at the new home, the promised land, to find that it's occupied with Canaanites. But this is what real life is like, isn't it? It's messy. Stressful. Stuff goes wrong. There's broken relationships, dysfunctional families, pressing responsibilities, unexpected changes. And yet, by faith, Abraham got going, and by faith, Abraham kept going. He refused to be put off or discouraged by any of this. By faith, Abraham faced each difficulty as it came, and he looked at it and said, God is greater than this. What difficulty are you facing this morning? I mean, what major stress factor is in your life that immediately comes to your mind? Whatever it is, write it on your bulletin. Get that little pencil out from the pew rack and write it on your bulletin. If you don't want the person next to you to see what it is, just put an X. X marks the spot of what's bothering me. The great stressful situation, circumstance that is looming before me, that is in my mind, this is what it is. Cover your sheet, write it out, look at it, acknowledge that that's what it is, and then by faith say, God is greater than this. Faith will help us deal with the difficulties that we meet with in life. Secondly, faith will help us deal with the unknown, with what is unknown. Verse 8 again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Isn't that what bothers us much of the time? We don't know. You know, what am I supposed to do in life? What does God want me to do? What am I supposed to do about this situation, about this circumstance? If I do this, if I make this decision, what's going to happen? What's it going to cost me? If I choose to do this and then things start going wrong, that's going to be embarrassing. Included a little quote in your study outline from William Barclay. Barclay says, most of us live a cautious life on the principle of safety first. To live the Christian life, there is necessary a certain reckless willingness to adventure. If faith does not involve risk, it is not faith. If faith can see every step of the way, it is not faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Faith will help us deal with the unknown. Thirdly, faith will help us deal with being alone. Verse 9, by faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Have you ever lived in a foreign country? Have you ever had to move away from people that you know and love and whatever is familiar and go into another culture? I've got a son and daughter that live in Minnesota. That's a different culture. To leave home, family, everything that's familiar, to go off, different language, different land, people that you don't know. your front. Young man from Miami and a young lady from Charleston, South Carolina, living in Minnesota. You know, on one hand, there's a sense of adventure. I mean, we're going to do something new and we're going to go somewhere different. But at the same time, it could very well be a time of great loneliness. And some of you know that loneliness, regardless of where you are. You know that empty feeling that comes with loneliness, no matter where you are. The empty nest. Children have grown, they've gone, moved away. You don't see them, you don't talk to them as often as you would like. A parent, a wife, a husband dies, and the house just feels empty. Life feels empty. Or you've gone through the pain of divorce, and you feel rejected. And very much on your own and alone. A stranger in a foreign country. Faith in God's presence and His provision and His protection will carry you on. I mean, the pain will still be there. But faith in your Heavenly Father will carry you through each day. Fourth lesson. Faith will help us deal with our desires for something better. Verse 9, by faith Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then again, verse 16. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He lived in tents. The only real experience that I have had living in a tent is when I was in the army in what used to be called West Germany. And we would be deployed from time to time just to find out what the Russians are doing and to be prepared in case the Russians decided to do something. And sometimes it would be a weekend, sometimes it would be a week, sometimes it would be for 30 days. But it would always be when it was cold. Winter. Temperatures below zero. Living in a small two-man tent. They only give you half a tent in the Army. I don't know if you realize that. It's only half of a tent. You've got to find somebody who has the snapping whatever things that match up to your tent. So it's, you know, you don't just get to choose who I'm going to bunk with here. Find somebody with the other half of your tent. And then you sleep on the frozen ground. The only good thing about living in a tent is you know that it's temporary. These things are not made to last. It's just temporary. This is not a permanent dwelling. This is not going to go on forever. Eventually we're just going to pull up stakes and we're going to go home. That's the best thing about living in a tent, is you know it's not going to last forever. It's temporary. You know, Abraham never built a house. Not for himself, not for his wife, not for his children, not for his grandchildren, for 100 years. He lived in tents. Living in a tent causes you to yearn for something better. Turn back to 2 Corinthians, chapters 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 4 and beginning at the end of the chapter, verse 16. Second Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Hearing aids, glasses, back pain, migraines, brittle bones, allergies, disappointments, unemployment, financial losses, children who are struggling. I think that one reason why God leaves us sometimes in our discomfort and doesn't grant deliverance here and now is to remind us that He has something so much better for us. I've been rereading C.S. Lewis's Problem of Pain. I would highly recommend it, especially chapter 6, where he talks about God's purpose in pain. But I think this is one of the major reasons why God leaves us in our discomfort. Why things don't always go the way that we want them to go, and why we have to struggle with chronic pain and difficulties in life, and we pray and ask God to take it away. Paul was afflicted. He prayed that it would be taken away, and yet it wasn't. But I think that one of the things that God has in mind is to constantly remind us that there is something so much better waiting for us. This is not home. This is temporary. It's only a tent. And with Abraham, we can say that we're looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And then finally, fifth lesson from the life of Abraham, faith will help us deal with all that seems so impossible. Dealing with what seems impossible, and we looked at this last Sunday. Verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. God will sometimes call you to do some things and you will feel, "I can't." God will promise something to you and your response will be, "That will never happen." Or God will tell you that something must be done, but your response will be, "Impossible." Abraham believed God for the impossible, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that are not. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham dared to believe that his sins could be forgiven, that he could be clothed with a righteousness that is freely given, that he could be the friend of God, that he could have a future and a hope in heaven. And by being stretched in his faith, I think that Abraham saw something about God that he would never have seen otherwise. A father who did not spare his one and only son, but gave him up. A son who willingly laid down his life to be a sacrifice. A faith that dared to believe there could be a resurrection. You know, I wonder if Abraham did not, at the voice of the angel, drop the knife, embrace Isaac, and say, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." Because he was receiving Isaac back from the dead. And in that, I am sure this is what Jesus was talking about when he said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Faith will help us deal with all that seems so impossible. Why Abraham? Well, where does this kind of faith come from? Remember our study in the life of Abraham. God calls and creates new life and faith in his people. God calls that faith into existence through his word. Don't think that faith is something that you have to create, that you have to somehow make it up, that you have to somehow work up something, some belief. That's just turning faith into another work. I make myself believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of Christ. Simply listen to God's word. Do you hear it say, "Yes, this is true, and I'm going to go with what God says, no matter what"? You do that sincerely, and what you will find is that your faith will show itself in obedience. You will be surprised. You will find both the desire and the ability to do things that you thought were impossible. And then choose to live by that faith every day. With each new day, with each new difficulty, each new challenge, take it up and then take some fresh new promise that God has in his word and bring the two together. Here's the challenge, here's the difficulty, and here's God's promise. And today, I'm going to put the two together. Keep your eye fixed on what is unseen, but what is eternal, God's promise of life and grace in Christ. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this record of the life of Abraham and for your great wisdom in giving us stories. You didn't just give us a theology textbook or a catechism or confession. You didn't just give us a list of facts about yourself, but you gave us stories so that we could see in very tangible and practical ways what it means for one man to believe you and to live by faith. And help us to be that person. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.